This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Don't be taking any of Rosenberg's garbage, Michael and Donnie. The Michael K. Show starts right now.
Beautiful voice. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half.
That's right.
That's your responsibility. Big show today. We're giving away $500 this hour. We've got Shane O'Mac, Shane McMahon on at 3:30 with WrestleMania fast approaching. So a lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to cover. I'm excited. Kevin Durant is supposed to be in the lineup again today after missing 23 games, but James Harden will not be in the lineup. We'll talk about that, but we'll start with some baseball. Don, you feel better about the Mets after last night?
Well, I feel better about the Mets. Still down on baseball, but it's time to win. We're back to 1-1. Like I told you, anybody that accused me of whining, it's only week game one, it wasn't about the loss, but hey, they hit. They did the job they needed to do. Stroman was solid, and he's going to have to be as the number two starter for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, happy.
You know, Michael, you know who's got to be happy.
Who's that?
Well, on a serious note, you winning your argument about Dom Smith, in my opinion.
You know what? I didn't sweat it because I knew I was right.
Of course you were. And also, I mean, all the people who wanted to see, ready to see Stanton and Judge benched. I mean, they got to feel good after last night.
I would think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would think that, wouldn't you feel a little embarrassed? I'm just saying, maybe no. I'm wrong. Maybe it's impossible for those people to feel embarrassment. But, you know, the guy who said they should trade Stanton and Judge hits a home run. He has four runs batted in yesterday. Stanton gets another RBI. I wonder if you could be embarrassed. Now, somebody, if they're going to answer back, they'll probably say something like, well, it's early. Well, you panicked early, so why can't I gloat early, right?
Coming from somebody that refuses to lose an argument,
right.
I can kind of see an angle in which they would not feel embarrassed and never apologize for their opinion. And one of the reasons for it is because it's all about winning championships, right? And they probably don't consider anything the Yankees do against the Orioles legit. Now, I don't side with them, Michael, but you think home runs against Baltimore, and listen, Baltimore came in 3-0, but let's face it, I don't think anybody's surprised the Yankees are beating up on Baltimore here. This is a minor league
team. Baltimore beat up on the Red Sox, and the Red Sox have just beaten Tampa Bay twice.
Well, I mean, that's baseball, Susan, right? I mean, you're talking logically. I'm just saying that I'm sure a Yankee fan watching the game last night, seeing Judge and Stanton play the way they're playing against Baltimore, are not going to be convinced they were wrong because they're going to say that it's Baltimore and who cares it's April because it's about winning a championship. They've put themselves in a situation, Michael, unless you lift the trophy at the end of the year, they don't care. So all the negative, it's amazing, right? You can be negative in April and they'll jump on you. Anything positive in April, what does it matter? It's April. So they're convinced that these guys are bums. They want to sit there and complain, and they'll do so until they win a championship. And guess what, Michael? After they win the championship, you know what they're going to say? Win me another one.
Well, so in other words, you can't ever get a win against these people.
Not for the people that they don't like. They never really let A-Rod up. Even after 2009, Michael, it quieted down a little bit, but they still never fell in love with the guy until all of a sudden it was okay to love him. You know, they warmed to Giambi after that home run against the Twins, but you know, it's, you know, Jeter can do no wrong. A-Rod can do no right. And I don't get the Judge hate. I mean, that was just one caller yesterday.
That was one guy who we can't give that much traction.
No, right. No.
I mean, he doesn't know what he's talking
about.
But
the Stan stuff, guys, Michael knows this. Peter's learning that Stanton represents everything that Yankee fans can't stand. Is the acquired player that fuels into their buying the championship and then hating him for not winning the championship. That's just the way it works. And yeah, New York's guilty of this,
they didn't
too,
win a championship.
Especially the Yankees.
They didn't win a championship last year, right? Through no fault of Giancarlo Stanton. He tried to carry them through the playoffs. Through no fault. But, again, there's a narrative that you set. But I did get an apology from somebody on Twitter.
Really? Oh,
yeah, a guy said, don't be worried so much about Dominic Smith not playing. Just be worried about, you know, your $300 million guy on the bench. And I answered back on the air. And yesterday, after the home run, he tweeted and said, I apologize. I was wrong and you were right. He should have been playing. Which I think, I mean, if you read Mike Vaccaro's story today, Luis Rojas can't overthink things. Dominic Smith is not a great left fielder. He's never going to be a great left fielder. As a left fielder, you know what he is? He's a really good hitter. And the only reason he's in left field is because you have Pete Alonso at first base. And the only reason he's in left field is because Major League Baseball players and the owners can't get along, and there should be a DH in the National League. It would benefit the Mets the most. This guy has to be out there every single day. And as Don said yesterday, and it's so right, so right. So against a right-hander, he's a better defender. Kevin Pillar should never have been in the opening day lineup. It should have been Dominic Smith, because there is a part of honor in being the opening day lineup. There is. I'm sorry. There is. And I know it's just one game, but the pomp and circumstance and all that, the feeling that you're going to play a game for the first time this year that means something, and I'm sorry, he might be the best hitter on the Mets. He's not in the lineup. That was an awful look, and I really believe that Luis Rojas is a guy who's very young, got the job by default because Carlos Beltran quit. I don't understand one thing, Don, and I'm not casting aspersions on what type of manager he is. I don't watch it closely enough, but I read everything. He doesn't seem like he's got a real fluid feel for the game. I think a lot of it is coming from other places.
Sure.
I just don't understand when Alderson took over and Cohen took over, why didn't they bring in another manager? Why would you if you want to make the playoffs this year? Now, Luis Rojas could end up being a great manager someday, but there were really good managers out there that you could have brought in. Why do you think they didn't do it? Because the whole Dominic Smith thing makes you scratch your head. I believe that the DeGrom thing was organizational. Let's not push him that far. Let's give him six ups, and that's it. But the Dominic Smith thing, maybe it was organizational. Maybe Sandy wants a guy that's going to carry out his orders. And most Major League Baseball teams have that.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the answer, right? Is that the reason you don't get an experienced manager, somebody with a little cachet, is because there's going to be some pushback, right? You could hire Bruce Bochy if you want. Bruce Bochy's available. He wants to manage again. Former Met. You could bring him in, but Bruce Bochy's going to do what he wants to do. He's got rings jingling and jangling. You're not going to be able to control Bruce Bochy, nor should you. But in this world of baseball now, is that bring in the neophyte, somebody that's an organizational guy, and that he's not going to push back. When he disagrees, he's not going to push back. You could make the case, Michael, that maybe he disagreed with the DeGrom thing and then huddled with his coaches, and his coaches are probably telling him, listen, you don't really have a leg to stand on. You can't go by your gut. You got to do what the organization tells you to do. Six ups. Go back out there and take him out of the game. You know, that might have been the conversation. He's not going to tell you that because it completely devalues who he is. But in a world where the manager is basically a puppet and Rojas never was a manager on the major league level before, only has 60 games under his belt from last year, you think he's going to push back?
No, I think he wants this job. I mean, he's in his 30s. He's got a great opportunity in an organization that's going to spend a lot of money to win. Yeah, he wants it. He wants the job. So, and maybe that's why they kept him, because this was a perfect opportunity. Listen, different ownership. We love you, Louis. If you want to stay in the organization, we'll find something for you. But we're going to bring in a big-time guy. And they didn't. But maybe they don't want to, Don. Maybe you're right on the nose. Maybe they don't want a big-time guy, because a big-time guy is a guy who's going to want to do things
right, his
way. I mean, you could have hired Buck Showalter.
So, yeah, so anybody that you hire, now I think they'll fall in line because they want the job. But in moments like that, do you think Bruce Bochy is going to listen to what he's told or leave DeGrom out there? If they went out and hired Tony La Russa before the White Sox did, if they brought in Buck Showalter,
I think those guys do what they want.
Yeah, they're during the interview, they're going to tell you that they're analytic guys, and for the most part, they'll probably agree. But I don't think any of them are going to sit there and go, no. I got a feel for this game. You know, I've managed in big games. I've won championships if you're La Russa and Bochy. And they're gonna push back. And I don't think Sandy, I don't think the Mets organization, I don't really think any organization, quite frankly, Michael, wants it. The Giants didn't want it. Giants were ready to go on to the analytic world, and they pushed Bruce Bochy out to retirement. Do not buy this fact that Bochy wanted to go. Bochy wants to manage again. You know, but he saw the writing on the wall that they weren't gonna let him be himself. And now he's gone.
I think Mark Scioscia wants to manage again. He just took over Team USA. So these guys want to manage. Buck Showalter desperately wants to manage again.
And they're not going to
get a
sniff.
I don't know if the game has passed them by. Not that they don't know the game, but the rules of the engagement, I don't think that they're going to be real cool with it. And, you know, La Russa landed in a perfect spot for him because he's revered by the owner of the White Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf, who will let him manage the way he wants. But I don't know if that team exists for a Buck Showalter or a Mike Scioscia.
And you asked the question yesterday, like, what's going to change all of this analytic stuff is going to take a Tony La Russa leading the White Sox to a championship because it's a copycat league, right? That's the way sports are. So when you finally get somebody who just says, I'm going to win old school, I'm going to steal bases, I'm going to have my best hitters batting third and fourth, I'm going to leave my pitcher in till he's dragging, and then that team wins 110 games and wins the championship, guess what? Then you'll start seeing other teams do it.
Now, the Mets are playing today at 4, the rubber game against the Phillies.
Yep.
This is their lineup. Nimmo in center, Lindor at short, Conforto in right, Alonso at first, Smith in left, VR at second, McCann will catch, Guillorme at third, and David Peterson is on the mound against Aaron Nola of the Phillies. So there you have it. That is their lineup. 1-800-919-3776. You know the deal, right? We're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time.
That's
by giving away $10,000 in this glorious month of April. That's right. So later in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the K-Cash Sounder. See ya! See ya! See ya!
Wow. That's
and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Stroman pitched well yesterday. That's Stroman. Stroman's the opposite of DeGrom, who's going to strike a lot of people out. Stroman wants you to hit the ball on the ground. That's why the DeGrom benching of Smith made no sense. DeGrom's going to strike out a lot of people. He's going to overwhelm people. Stroman's going to have them put the ball in play. That's his game. So you felt it was okay for Smith to play left field with a guy who lets you put the ball in play, but a guy who strikes out a load of people, then he shouldn't have been out there. It just made no sense. I also think that Luis Rojas did something really smart because as I was watching at the end of the game, by the way, a National League game going 3 hours and 40 minutes, as I'm watching the end of the game, I thought, you know what? If they're smart, they give this ball, if they win this game, to Steve Cohen. I mean, it's the first win as an owner, and that's exactly what they did. Yeah. That's good for job security, Don.
I thought the same thing, and then they sent out the video. That's a good job. You know, that's what you got to do if you want to be able to keep your job. You know, kiss up to the boss isn't the worst thing in the world. I like the fact that they went back to May too, and he was good, and then you get a little Familia, although
Familia done.
I'll tell you what, though, he was
Familia last night.
Everything is so tough. I mean, I thought of Met fans as I was sitting there. I said everything is so tough. That ninth inning, it was like they wanted to give it away. Nothing comes easy. Why doesn't anything come easy?
Well, that's this bullpen, right? And also that ballpark, and the Phillies can hit. So that's you're going to have to score a lot of runs in this league. That's why pinch hitting for Pilar would have made sense in the fourth inning back on Monday, because you want to try to score a bunch of runs. Did you really think, even with DeGrom staying in the game beyond the sixth, that you were going to beat the Phillies 2-0 in that ballpark?
No.
You know, so get some runs. Add on, because as great as DeGrom is, he wasn't going to go 9. He probably wasn't going to go 8. I thought he should have been able to pitch the 7th inning, and maybe you get lucky and he gets a 1-2-3 inning and he throws 4-5 pitches and you can start him in the 8th inning. Although they're loath to bring in relief pitchers in the middle of an inning, right? They like these guys to start clean. So really, any idea of going beyond 7 innings was probably a pipe dream. So now you're asking to get 6 out against a pretty good offensive club in that bandbox. Balls fly out of there, Michael. It's ridiculous. And did you really think that 2 runs was going to hold up?
I guess
that's
why
they won last night, because they tacked on.
Yeah, they did tack on. The Phillies couldn't throw strikes. I think they walked 8 batters. The Phillies, I think, out-hit the Mets 10-4. But all the walks put so many runners on base, and the Mets capitalized. Now, if Luis Rojas wants to see how you do it with an ace, you know, the way the Yankees did it last night with Gerrit Cole, and we'll get into Gerrit a little bit later on, because we're talking Mets right now. We'll let you inside the mind of programming, okay? The Mets are playing at 4. So Mets fans want to hear their team being spoken about now. And when the Mets start playing, we'll talk about the Yankees. But the bottom line is this. Gerrit Cole was stretched to the 7th inning. He pitched into the 90s. And he pitched great. That's about as good as he's pitched, or as well as he's pitched with the Yankees since he's been here. And he had a 13-strikeout game in the postseason last year. He was great yesterday. That's what the Mets should have done. One more inning. One more inning out of DeGrom, and the Mets are 2-0. I really believe that.
Yeah.
But getting 3 innings out of the bullpen and taking DeGrom out after 6 doesn't work, because it's too many people in a shaky bullpen that you're asking to do their job all on the same night, and it didn't happen.
Right, because if you believe in the fallacy of the predetermined outcome, then Castro, you know, doesn't allow a run in the 8th inning, and then you can at least bring Diaz in to close it out. So that one inning, Michael, made a huge difference, because there's two pitchers that gave it up on Monday that probably don't come into the game if DeGrom goes one more inning.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. But maybe we're overthinking it. Maybe they would not have brought in Castro in the 8th, and he pitched a scoreless 7th. Maybe it still would have been May and Loop, and they didn't do the job. And May teetered yesterday, too. Teetered yesterday as well. But bottom line is the Mets win 1-1. Everything's cool. They try to win today. If they win today, they come back for their opener on Friday. Opener's tomorrow. They come back for the opener tomorrow, and they're feeling good about things. If they lose, it's still early. I mean, if you're not going to panic when a team goes 0-3, you're not going to panic when they go 1-2. It's still very early. Again, the 114-win Yankees in 1998 started 1-4, so just chill.
It's such a great point. They were even talking about it during the game the other day, John and Susan, about, you know, granted, they started 1-4 out west, but still, right. You're 1-4 in a team that broke the record for wins in a regular season at that point, eventually broken by
the Mariners. They were talking about firing Joe Torre. It was a Joe Torre watch after 5 games. So there was a lot of pressure, and then I think after 1-4, you know what they did? They won 22 out of 24 games and never looked back. They didn't play an important game again until October.
I didn't freak out about the loss, Michael. I just freaked out about just the way baseball's going. But the loss, yeah, you're going to lose games like that. It's one game. Let's not get crazy.
New York State is approving betting. But the weird part is they're approving betting, though, but only for like one or two companies. Why not let every company do it? I guess they want those teams, those companies to bid and pretty much tell New York, well, this is what we'll give you in order to get the franchise. Weird. Every single online company can bet in Jersey, right, Don?
Yes. From what I understand, yes.
Weird. 1-800-919-3776. Looks like many of the players and staff on the Rangers got vaccinated today.
Yep.
Because New York is now 16 and over, and the Rangers decided to do it. I don't have a number, but they say many of their players and staff have now been vaccinated.
Yeah. All right.
Now, what's interesting, Michael, about that, because I thought about it, and because I'm getting my second shot tomorrow. So I'm like planning my life on how I'm going to feel after that second shot. And I've got a host, basically just me and Peter, because you're going to have the afternoon game on Friday, and then I got a Ranger game. So I'm kind of planning my life according to how I'm going to feel on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't a player feel the same way? I mean,
yeah.
The Rangers have...
You almost should stagger who you're going to vaccinate, because if they all have a reaction, that's not good. So you should do, you know, half the team on one day and half the team another day. Because if they all have, like in baseball, if they all have sore arms... Because even if you don't have a reaction, your arm's going to be sore for a couple of days.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're getting. Because if they're all getting a Pfizer or Moderna, they shouldn't have anything after the first vaccination.
Right.
Some do, but most don't. Yeah.
Right, but it's the second one. Now, if it's Johnson & Johnson, as Peter said, it's like 100%. You're going to feel something. The Rangers are getting vaccinated today because it's their off day. They've got back-to-back games against Pittsburgh at home tomorrow, and then Friday out on the island against the Islanders. And things are really important. So if there's any kind of reaction or players feel bad, they're going to have back-to-back games. So I'm just wondering if this was the first dose and then it's not an issue. And then 2 weeks, then you can maybe plan it out 2 weeks to where if there is a reaction that they'll have an off day to fight through it. I've got to do the math and see, because it'd be 3 weeks, right?
If it was Pfizer, yes.
If it's Pfizer, it's three. It's four if it's Moderna.
And it's nothing if it's Johnson & Johnson. So, Peter, how do you feel a couple of days after?
Oh, no, I'm fine. I feel 100%.
You look tremendous, too.
Thank you very much. It followed exactly what Andrew had told me he went through. Literally, almost to the minute, the way I felt. So, I feel good right now. I feel vaccinated.
Andrew's very bright. He's very bright. He's someone that you should trust. That's just the way I feel about him.
So I'm glad.
Tune in Friday. It could be very interesting with me.
I'll be in Tampa on Friday, Don, for WrestleMania.
Oh, it's going to be a great show. Great show. Now, we know it's not going to get rained out, the game, because the game's in Tampa Bay. So, but I will be on at the beginning. I'll be on at the beginning. I look forward to that.
How long we got you for?
First half hour.
Oh, 30. What a half hour it'll be.
Big yeah. Minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to give a hot take and say, see ya.
See ya.
There you go.
Did you see what Shaq did yesterday?
I just saw him trending. But I
love it. He, you know what? He is a pretty decent dude. So he's in a jewelry shop, right? And there's a guy there working with the guy behind the counter. And he's buying an engagement ring. He's a young guy. I don't know if he's wealthy. He didn't look like he was a wealthy guy. He looked like, you know, he saved up to try to buy an engagement ring for his girl. And he's buying the engagement ring, and he's at the part where you have to pay. And Shaq is there, and I guess he had seen what was going on and just casually walked over to the guy taking care of the kid that was buying the engagement ring and gave him the credit card, said, "This one's on me." Can you imagine what that kid felt like?
Wow.
"This one's on me." I mean, I thought about this. I'm not crying poverty. I've been so lucky in my career, really lucky. Done better than I ever thought I could do, better than what most people thought I could do. But I wish that I was that wealthy to be able to do stuff like that, where I would do stuff like that all the time. I don't know why people that are filthy rich don't have bigger hearts and don't do things like that.
But hold on 1 second. Don, I don't want to do this, but I have to. You could still do that right now, but not on engagement rings.
Well, yeah, but I mean that, like,
I mean, that's a life changer.
See somebody like in a used car lot that's buying a car for their family, and you could tell that, you know, they don't have that much money, but I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, but so you could start with the small stuff. For example, here you go. This happened the other day. Don, I was at, and Michael, I was at
yeah,
CVS.
I'm here too.
Yeah, you're here too, Michael. I was at CVS, and I was checking out. And I saw that the guy checking out the register next to me, he was having a communication problem with the cashier.
Okay.
He tried to pay. It didn't work. He's holding up his phone. She's trying to get it to work, and they can't get it to pay. And I'm up there, and I go... The guy had, like, stepped away a little bit, and I'm like, how much is this guy's total, right? And I'm hoping the total's what, $5?
Right.
He's getting a candy bar. I'm happy to pay for it. So I go, "What's the total?" And she goes, $37. So I went, "Whoa, hold on 1 second. $37. I took a second, and I thought, you know what? You can pick up $37 for someone. Go ahead. And I said, "All right, let me take care of it." And then the woman goes, "Oh, no, it's a DoorDash. You would just be buying someone else who orders this stuff." And I went, "All right, you know what? He's fine."
Oh.
But I almost did it. I was so close, Michael, but I'm not going to lie to you. When she said 37, I went, "Oh, that's a big favor,
now,
$37.
Now, I was thinking about this, Michael. I don't know if you thought about this. How does the fiance feel?
Oh, she's married to Shaq. She's now engaged to Shaq, Don.
It's a great story, but like, how does it come out that your soon to be husband didn't pay for the ring? Shaq did. It's a great story.
I don't think there's not a negative aspect to it. Now he could take the money he was going to pay with the ring and Maybe they put a down payment on a house or something like that. No, there's no way that she could. He didn't seek out Shaq and ask for, like, you know, charity. Shaq did it on his own, well, on his own volition. I just think it was a beautiful gesture.
No,
first of all, Shaq is a great, from everything I can tell, Shaq just seems like a great dude. I think this is probably very common for him.
And the only reason it came out is somebody was like...
Yeah, someone filmed it. It wasn't him. Yeah. You could tell he's not trying to be filmed there.
Right.
But
I would want everybody to know.
When yeah, you would have filmed it yourself. You would have, Michael would have had a ring light. Why is he here with a ring light? That's weird. Now, when my ex-girlfriend from college...
Is this the one you buried yourself over?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That was the one after that. This was the most unceremoniously dumped I've ever been, right? And she went on and she married very rich.
Oh, I know this one.
You've heard the story, I believe.
No, not the story, but I know who she married. Very wealthy. She made a really good choice.
I mean, I don't know about the marriage at this point, but she did quite well.
But she's got as many sneakers as she wants. Please go on.
That's exactly right. Exactly. anyways, when he proposed to her, they were off at some island, and a dolphin swam up to her. And the dolphin had the ring.
Jim Kick? Larry Zonka?
Yeah. and I have always insisted that the marriage was never legal, and she was actually engaged to the dolphin. You have to do the proposal yourself.
Wow.
It doesn't count. Don, I agree with you. The woman should marry Shaq.
Now, if the woman is just like a very petty, she'd be like... And this is the ring you got me? Shaq paid for it, and you couldn't get me something better?
Yeah, he would have gone up a couple of carrots if he knew Shaq was going to pay for it.
Wouldn't that have been great if he'd been like, you know what, Shaq, that's so nice of you. Excuse me, sir, I'd like to look at a couple other things.
Yeah, let's bump this up. All right, let's take a quick time out. 1-800-919-3776. Want to hear from you. Let's talk. The Mets' victory yesterday, do you feel a little bit better? A lot of stuff on the table. Kevin Durant. We have Shane McMahon on at 3:30. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be unbelievably entertaining right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big news is after a great night last night with a long 3-run home run, 4 RBIs, Aaron Judge is not in the lineup today. And here's Aaron Boone talking to Yes Network's Meredith Marakovic about the decision.
Was sore yesterday during the game, kind of in his side, and then after the game was sore. So just with the off day tomorrow, just something trying to stay ahead of and don't want to push through anything right now.
When you say sore in his side, what side exactly, what happened to lead to that soreness?
I think it's just been the general wear and tear of the first several days, DH in one day, a lot of swings. So yeah, just that.
And by side, do you mean oblique?
No, I think it's just, as I would say, general soreness, I guess, in the side.
Listen, I can't question what's going on in that room. They have more information than me. But, the wear and tear of playing, they played 5 games.
Well,
he's a healthy 30-year-old, 29. I don't get that. Unless, maybe Boone is just, trying to cover up that he might be hurt. But, for a guy who had a sore side, he hit the ball a ton. And all I could do is tell you that the post-game interview that he had with Meredith from down on the field, he was in a great mood. Didn't seem like anything was bothering him, so. This is curious. It's curious.
All right, let's take it at face value, okay? Nobody's lying. They're just telling the truth.
All right.
Well, that's not great that, 5 games into the season, the wear and tear of the DH, a lot of swings is 162 games. He didn't play the last couple of games of spring training because he had the allergies.
Right.
You know, and now we're five games in. He comes off a great performance, and already he's going to have to miss this game before an off day to get a couple of days off because of the wear and tear of a lot of swings. And again, I'm not getting on Judge because I'm sure this kid wants to play, but just the general China doll way that baseball players are treated. I mean, Michael, if he really needs rests like every 5 days, then you know, how many games are you going to play? Are you that scared to death that he's going to completely fall apart? Then what kind of career are you going to have?
This is, to me, what I'm struck with here. This is one of those situations where how honest do you have to be if you're Aaron Boone? I almost wish they were just saying he was taking a day off. I mean, because
yeah,
it sounds
you
like
know what? If you say he's just taking a day off, Peter, which I think it might be that, you know, they have a plan in place, then he's going to get questioned. Why would you give him a day off after he had a home run and four RBIs?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it's not even like the Stanton situation where he wasn't playing well and he takes a day. He's playing great.
But right. To Peter's point, you could have just said, hey, we see an opportunity here, a couple of days off for him. We would have been arguing, like, I can't believe you got to give him a day off, but it wouldn't be that shocking because it happens all the time. Stanton just had a day off after having, you know, the Yankees off back on Friday. So it's something to keep an eye on, but just, again, at face value, this is the way that Aaron Judge has to be treated. The wear and tear of being a DH for five games?
Well, he's DH for one game.
That's even worse.
Right.
All right, but still, he's had a lot of swings in playing right field. He's been a DH. That doesn't make any sense. Like, the wear and tear of being a DH for one game?
No, I think you meant, he said, with being a DH and playing every day with all the swings. I don't think he meant to say that the DH caused it, but it's a little – all I know is growing up, and again, I'm gonna sound like a lot of our callers. I think it was 1976 and 1977. Roy White played every game, every single game, every one. Never missed a game. Never.
That's
so Roy
what
White
meant,
didn't
what
feel tired. He never felt, you know, he needed a blow. He played every single game.
Right.
Cal Ripken Jr. played every single, maybe to his detriment, but every game he played. I would understand it if everybody stayed healthy, but you keep resting people and they're not healthy. They don't stay healthy.
Exactly. Because he still goes through these things, you know, so even if you're just trying to rest him and protect him, he still ends up getting hurt. He still ends up missing time. But, again, I don't want to compare the sports because the difference with baseball, it's every day. Like hockey and basketball, you can get as many as 3-4 days off during the week. But those guys also usually practice as well on days in which they don't play. Basketball players are running up and down the court. Hockey players are skating. You know, and he plays right field. He's standing out there. Right? I mean, there's some days he plays, Michael. We might go 0-for-4 and barely break a sweat running down the first base line because he might strike out three times and ground out the other time and get maybe two balls hit to him. So it's not the most strenuous sport in the world. If you want to not take batting practice one day so you cut down on the swings or whatever, but, you know, it's April 7th, and this is a team that wants to compete for a World Series every single year. And already you're wrapping these guys in bubble wrap. And it's not just the Yankees. We've been talking about this with all sports. Remember when the Mets were giving like Jose Reyes and David Wright days off when they were 25 years old? And they still got hurt. Wright still ended up having the bad back. Reyes still had to learn how to run again because of all the leg injuries that he had. So all of this resting and precaution, Michael, they still get hurt.
Yep.
And now you start to wonder, do they get hurt because they're not bred to face adversity? So you're telling me Cal Ripken Jr. was just lucky. There wasn't one day where he had to play maybe with his back a little sore or his knee barking or his ankle barking. But he was able to do it because that was the job. You played every day. It's almost like these athletes, Michael, especially in baseball, they're just not trained to face any adversity. You feel anything, we're pulling you out of the lineup. We don't want you to get hurt.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. We'll reset with this. I've got some takes on it as well. It's weird. It's a weird decision here in game six of the season. Is there more that we don't know? Well, only time will tell. But if you haven't heard, Aaron Judge is not in the lineup today. General soreness in his side. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. So this is the story. So we'll give you today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. And here we go. DJ LeMahieu leads off, plays second. Gleyber Torres at short will bat second. Hitting third, center fielder Aaron Hicks. DH is Giancarlo Stanton cleaning up. Batting fifth is the right fielder Clint Frazier. Jay Bruce at first base will bat sixth. Batting seventh, the catcher Gary Sanchez. Gio Urshela at third base will bat eighth. And batting ninth and playing left field, Brett Gardner. Obviously, no Aaron Judge. That's today's Yankee starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Now, before we do a deep dive into Judge not playing, I just want to tell everybody, and I'm excited about this because we've been trying for a while. I'm going to have Gerrit Cole on at 4:30.
All right.
13 strikeouts, no walks yesterday. He was absolutely filthy. And I love watching him pitch. I'm going to tell him that, too. But he'll be on with us at 4:30. All right, so Judge is not in the lineup. And we will give you a refresher on Aaron Boone talking with my colleague from the YES Network, Meredith Marakovic. Here's Boone.
Was sore yesterday during the game, kind of in his side, and then after the game was sore. So just with the off day tomorrow, you know, just something trying to stay ahead of and don't want to push through anything right now.
When you say sore in his side, what side exactly, what happened to lead to that soreness?
I think it's just been just the general wear and tear of the first several days, you know, DH in one day, a lot of swings. So yeah, just that.
And by side, do you mean oblique?
No, I think it's just, as I would say, general soreness, I guess, in the side.
All right. So there's a couple of ways that this plays out, and I got to be honest, guys, none of them are good. All right, so if this was a planned off day, remember, he didn't want to play Stanton 5 days in a row. And Judge has also been injury prone. So if this was a planned off day and they're saying that his side is sore just to give them some cover, it's ridiculous. The guy had 3 hits yesterday, a monstrous home run, and 4 runs batted in. He also happens to own the Orioles. So if it's that, I'm sorry. I don't accept it. This is a healthy young man. You know, the wear and tear from 5 games. I mean, that's almost impossible to process. And giving him a rest because it was a pre-planned day off and there's a day off tomorrow, I don't buy it. I don't like it. I think it's a terrible, terrible move to have pre-planned days off. But in the analytic world, for the most part, I've told you all this before, they don't believe in hot. I believe in hot. Other players I've spoken to, Paul O'Neill, David Cohn, they believe in hot. But the guys with the computers don't believe in hot. They just don't. Okay. So if they wanted to rest him in game six, they were going to rest him in game six, even if he hit 4 home runs yesterday. That would be disturbing if that's it. Okay. Second thing, if his side is hurting him and barking, the way Boone said, that's a concern. They brought in the best strength and conditioning guy, body management guy in all of sports, in Eric Cressy. He's their guy. And 5 games in, he's feeling soreness in his side. That's disturbing. That a young man can't play more than 5 games in a row, that is disturbing. I feel for the kid because he's a great player when he plays. But if there's nothing wrong with him, and this is a pre-planned day off, I just shake my head. Now, I'm used to it by now. I've seen it before. I've seen it before coming off a great game. That's this guy's day to rest. There's a day off. This gives you 2 days. But if it is, in fact, something wrong with his side, that's a concern. So, Don, it's either one of those two things, and neither one is good.
No. Well, one's better than the other, because as much as we get frustrated with these off days, you know, that means he's still healthy. They're concerned about him long term, but why wouldn't anybody be concerned with him long term? Because he has been hurt a lot. But if he's hurt again, it's another injury that this kid has had to suffer. And when you look at Tatis's injury in San Diego, these guys swing so hard now because it's all about launch angle. Is this just something that we're going to have to live with him? In order for him to be great and hit all those home runs, Michael, that means he's going to do damage to his body, which means that he's not someone that's going to play until he's 35, 36 years old at this kind of efficacy. Because we're still talking about, what, a 29-year-old? So you think this is going to age well?
Well, I mean, so I don't know if it's going to age poorly, Don. If he's going to keep getting hurt, though, that's a big question mark.
What I'm saying, when you're not even 30 and you've got to rest every couple of days and there's the wear and tear of swings through the first five games of the season after not playing the last two spring training games where you were supposed to be fresh, then how is he going to be when he's 32, 33, 34 years old? It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And so that's what we talk about him being long-term out there, Michael. Is he somebody that when he becomes a free agent, you're going to want to keep and give, you know, a 5-, 6-, 7-year deal to when you're dealing with this now before he's even 30 years old?
That's going to play a big role. And I give him credit. I don't know how much of the game you watched yesterday. I think it was Trey Mancini who hit a pop fly right down the right field line. It landed fair by about 2 inches. And Judge was there running from, you know, right center. And he got there in time, but he kind of pulled up because he didn't want to lunge and go into the wall. Now, he said in spring training, I'm not going to do that anymore and get myself hurt. I'm going to have to pick my spots. And game 5 against the Orioles at the stadium is not the spot to do it. And I gave, wow, to have that presence of mind. Okay, I'm not going to slam into the concrete wall trying to make this play. It's not that big of a play in the grand scheme of things. So he's playing a bit with management. And now you hear this again, both things to me are kind of hard to digest. Resting him because it's the day to rest him. You know how I feel about that. And if he's actually really battered after 5 games, I feel for him. I feel for the Yankees. I don't know what you do. I just don't know what you do.
Well, what you do is that this is how you manage it. Now, lucky tonight it's against the Orioles, and it's probably a game you could still win even without him, and it's still earlier in the year, but this is something that I guess you just live with. And the hope is that the only days he misses are the days that you strategically allow him to miss, and you avoid putting him on the DL, where he ends up missing bulk of time, which has happened over the last couple of years. So it's almost as if, Michael, the best-case scenario is this kid's injury-prone. If we're going to avoid him completely breaking down, then every 5-6 days we're going to have to give him off, which turns out to be a guy that in the best case scenario is probably going to play like 130 games a year.
Now, if they're just resting him because, you know, they're trying to get ahead of the curve and they don't want him to get hurt, he's probably red hot.
And rightly so.
Michael, but I don't know. That's why I'm sitting here and I'm kind of like caught betwixt and between. I don't know. I mean, maybe he is hurt. Maybe this wasn't a pre-plan. I don't know. And unless Aaron Boone would completely show his hand, he's not going to tell us. Like last year, too, or a couple of years ago, Judge left the game in the 5th inning, and we said, well, what's wrong with him? And he said, well, nothing. And it turned out that there was something wrong with him. And there's also a very difficult chain of command that you have to deal with. If you're the manager and the player doesn't want you to tell them, the media, what's wrong with you, you legally can't tell the media what's wrong with you. You can't tell him because of HIPAA laws. So I don't know what's going on. Well, that's why I'm kind of pulling the reins back a little, and I'm giving you the different sides of it that could be affected. But when I saw he was in the lineup today, I said, wow. Because I love watching the guy play. He's one of my favorite guys to watch play because he's so good. But we always say one of the best abilities you could have is availability.
I mean, he's not going to be 29 years old until the end of the month. April 26th, he's going to turn 29 years old. Does it make sense to you that a professional athlete, as strong as Aaron Judge is, not even to his 29th birthday, is sore from playing 5 baseball games?
No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
General sore, because, again, just take it at face value what you're being said. Just what Aaron Boone told us. He needs a day off before there's a day off, right? So they're giving him 2 days. He'll end up having 2 days off before they play again because of swinging the bat. 5 games, he's sore. That's a problem.
2 things stand out to me here. Number one, man, this is Groundhog's Day. I mean,
oh yeah,
the last several years here, the start of the season's always the same. It's just high hopes, expectations, and then here come the injuries, the off days we don't expect. And then also Groundhog's Day when it comes to Judge. And like Michael, I mean, any sane person who enjoys baseball on any level loves watching Aaron Judge and knows the Yankees are 10 times more interesting when he's playing. He is the star of this team. But, I mean, is it possible, guys, he's just a bit of a lemon physically?
Well, he's not a lemon as a player. He's a great player. But
I don't mean talent-wise.
Yeah,
I just mean
injury-wise. There are very few that can even come close to what he is.
We all know
what makes this all the more frustrating.
Yeah, we all know that at his best, at his healthiest, Aaron Judge is competing for the MVP every year. That's the kind of player he is. But at the same time, he has been hurt before, guys, doing things that maybe looked a little bit rough, but you wouldn't expect him to miss much time. And that's turns time to extensive time off. He just his body has issues.
All right, let's see what you're thinking. I'm sure the Yankee universe is kind of on high alert right now. So let's hear what you're saying. Let's go to Lucas in Stamford. Lucas.
Michael, thanks for taking my call. Diehard Yankee fan. Been through this before with Judge. I feel like this is like a movie I've seen with Greg Bird. Just you keep waiting and waiting for this guy to put it all together, and it never happened. He's going to be free agent in 2 years. I feel like the Yankees need to start planning for life without Aaron Judge and without giving this guy a $300 million contract that, you know, he all makes of being the next Yankee captain, the next great Yankee, following in the footsteps of Derek Jeter and a Paul O'Neill type of player. But with this news 5 games in, I just feel like injuries are going to be the story of this guy's career for as long as he's a Major League Baseball player. And the Yankees, to count on that, for him to be healthy is just completely unrealistic at this stage. Say what you want about the panic meter. Mine could not be higher right now for Aaron Judge.
Well, I think you might be a little bit too panicking because, I mean, to compare him to Greg Bird, Aaron Judge has had unbelievable stretches. Greg Bird had short stretches and couldn't stay healthy. And Aaron Judge is injured. He does get on the field, and then there's times that he has to take off. You know, he had the broken rib last year, and, you know, some of the things that he's had would not necessarily fall under the heading of injury prone. You know, he broke his wrist being hit by a pitch. You know, he made a dive in the field, and that's when he broke his rib. Now, the calf injury that he had last year, that's a little bit of a concern. But, you know, both he and Stanton this year, they advertised the fact that they did a lot of yoga, and that would put them in a better place. But, wow. And he is going to be a free agent in 2 years, and I feel for him because if you go to college, you're coming out and you're going to be in the big leagues later, and then if it's there's no doubting his ability. He's a great player. But what kind of deal is he going to get if he becomes a free agent if you do not have the assuredness that he's going to play all the time?
See, that's what would scare me if I'm a Yankee fan and I love Aaron Judge. How do you give him a long-term contract when he becomes a free agent? How do you do it? If this is what his career is going to be, in and out of the lineup, injury prone, tweaks here and there, even if it's a 5-year deal, because he'll be 30, right, when he becomes a free agent.
31.
All right. How are you going to do that? You think it's going to get better as he gets older? Now, somebody may give it to him because he'll get a lot of people to come to the games and he'll enhance ratings, so there'll probably be a team that would give him a contract. You're going to get into a bidding war? I mean, but do you really want to give a long-term contract to somebody who might only be available for you 100 games a year, as great as he is? Because that's why he's not Bird. Because there were questions on how good Bird was. There's no question how good Judge is. The question is, can he be on the field enough to take advantage of his skills?
Let's go to Bill in Jackson, New Jersey. Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just chiming in on this Judge thing. I just think he's so big that he's really not agile enough to play this game for the longevity that, you know, we would expect him to. I think he's a great player. He's got great skills, as you said. But, you know, he just keeps breaking down. And, you know, X amount of games into the season is just, you know, for somebody of that nature and athletic as he is, I just don't see any longevity with him.
Well, I mean, so far, you know, other than 2017 when he should have won the MVP, the MVP was given to a guy who knew what signs were being given. We have not seen a full season of him other than that year. And boy, is that year whet the appetite. Shows you how good he can be. Speaking of good, Gerrit Cole was great last night. He's going to join us at 4:30, so please – call your friends and tell them. Let's go to Stench and Mamaroneck, the winner with Don of Drop Madness. Hello, Stench.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Before we enter the Judge stuff, I just wanted to thank all you guys for the past few weeks because it has just been so much fun. I've been an everyday listener since 2014 when you guys started on Yes. And, you know, it's just my favorite show, and to have you guys talk about and argue and everything, it's just, it's been amazing.
Well, thank you. We're glad that you're part of the family.
Our pleasure.
So with the judge stuff, it's funny because it's actually what I called about initially last year, the same thing. It's just, if this guy can't play a week of baseball, just how do you give him the big Machado Harper contract? I mean, you've said it many times. He's a top five baseball player when he's playing baseball, and he's incredible to just watch what he does from the field and the plate. But if he can't be a consistent baseball player, I just, it kills me to say it, but how do you give him a long-term huge contract?
Well, you probably give him a shorter contract, but, you know, the amount of money is going to be play a role. And this is a business. He's probably the favorite Yankee of Yankee fans.
Yeah.
He's a homegrown guy, so you're just not going to toss him aside. And I mean, this might be overreaction theater here. He might play on Friday against Tampa Bay, and then all will be forgotten. But just the way it's been, you know, fashioned to us, you know, 5 days of wear and tear, 5 days. I mean, that's almost laughable. It just makes it sound so bad. It's not fair to Aaron Judge if he's really not hurt. The wear and tear of 5 days on a 29-year-old. I want to see Aaron Judge play every single day. I want Aaron Judge to come up every inning.
So that's the thing. I mean, the Yankees were the ones that kind of broke their own code and put the Judge's chamber in the outfield and all that, because they see the marketability in the guy. And that means when you turn on Yes or you go to a game, that you're going to see 99 out there. Not, oh, is he going to be in the lineup today? Oh, we got to give him a day off here. How is that good for anybody? It's not good for him. It's not good for the Yankees. And it's not good for them trying to win games or to market themselves. It's just bad for baseball, right? I want to see this guy play.
Let's go to Rudy in Cedarhurst. Rudy.
Oh, my God, Peter. Absolute pleasure, an honor, a privilege.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
And, you know, so to get on the subject of Aaron Judge over here, I think it's good. Let him take a couple weeks, get some braces. You know, he's too tall for the sport anyway. I think he should be nowhere near it. You know, that's first of all.
But how did, wait a second. How did it work out for Dave Winfield?
He was lanky, though.
Dave Winfield played football at Minnesota.
I understand. But he was still not as big as Judge. He might have been as tall as Judge. He wasn't as thick as Judge.
Yeah,
pretty big guy.
Like, he should be a WWE wrestler. You know, he's not for the sport.
Wait, hold on. Not for the sport. He's been an incredible player since he started playing. It's not fair to
the rest of us. You know, this guy's 7 feet tall. It's an unfair advantage. It's like putting a sumo wrestler in the goalie. You can't do this.
Fair enough.
Okay, Rudy.
And the Orioles, I'll just tell you, if I'm Aaron Boone, I would say to myself, I would sit every Yankee against the Orioles. They're a garbage organization. I would, every single game the whole year, why do we need to put them in against these guys? We're destroying them every single game for the last 50 years.
Rudy, obviously you're auditioning for the Borscht Belt, but the bottom line is the Orioles just beat the Red Sox 3 games in a row. Red Sox just swept the Tampa Bay Rays 3 games in a row, so there's no patsies. You know, the Yankees have had their number, but they can win any game, too. John Means a good pitcher pitching tonight.
Well, they had their number, Michael, but it wasn't that long ago. As a matter of fact, the last couple of years, like the first time around, though, they dropped 4 out of 6 to start the year.
Yep.
Against Baltimore. So, listen, you can't just – even though they may be like a minor league team when it's all said and done and lose 120 games, whatever.
Well, right now they're all 3-2. You got to do what you got to do.
But you got to play. You can't just say, we're playing the Orioles, so let's just rest everybody. I mean, you got to play it out.
Being a comedian. Anyway, we'll come back.
Not funny either.
With a guy that was just unbelievable last night. Just unbelievable. Gerrit Cole, 13 strikeouts, no walks, 7 shutout innings. He got his first victory of the year. We'll talk to Gerrit Cole, the Yankee ace, when we get back right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
What a show so far. So every 2 o'clock hour during April, we're giving away a total of $10,000, $500 a day. We had a winner today. big WrestleMania coming up, so we serve all of our fans. Shane O'Mac, Shane McMahon,
right,
was on with us. Also mentioned that one of his favorite wrestlers was The Undertaker. I bit my tongue. I didn't say it. Fraud.
Don't you dare to be great, Michael.
I mean, really, the guy keeps retiring and coming back. I mean, who is he, Roger Clemens? Stop it.
He appears to be actually retired now.
Well, we'll see. Then we get to talk to Gerrit Cole, one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he showed his admiration for Jacob DeGrom. I mean, when you hear Gerrit Cole, like, just rave about another pitcher, I mean, DeGrom's at a different level. I don't know if even Met fans realize how great and what they're watching. He is that great. He really is.
And I love players. I can't stand athletes that always play that. Well, I don't watch the sport.
I play.
I love the guys that stay up late watching the West Coast games and care about like their craft in that way, and they're fans of the sport. I really like that. But it happens in all sports, right? Even like in hockey. I remember like Scott Gomez telling me, like, yeah, I don't really watch hockey. I like playing it. I don't like watching it. Like, but I love the guys that just are like Alex Rodriguez when he was playing, Michael. He consumed all the everything that was going on. I love it when they love what they do.
Well, did you ever – you've heard the story. I'm not sure Peter has. So at the beginning of their careers, A-Rod and Jeter were so close, they would stay in each other's place. When they were, you know, when the Yankees were in Seattle, he would stay with A-Rod. And when the Mariners were in New York, he would stay with Jeter. So they went back after a game, and he said to Jeter, he said, do you have the Major League package? And Jeter goes, what? Because the Major League package, you can see all the games. He goes, I don't watch baseball. And A-Rod was, like, stunned. Jeter goes, I play baseball. I'm not going to watch it. And that's where we stand. Now he owns a team. He wants people to watch it.
But, you know, I get that because I guess you it's hard for you to be a fan when all you've done is play baseball. But I just think it's extra special when you get somebody that still, like, can't get enough of it even when they're not playing and are watching games late. I get the biggest kick out of that.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. So the big story this afternoon and going into this evening is that the Yankee lineup came out and Aaron Judge was not in it. And that sent off a lot of warning signals. Why? Why isn't he in it? And then Aaron Boone addressed the media. And this is the exchange that he had with my colleague at the YES Network, Meredith Marakovitz.
Was sore yesterday during the game, kind of in his side. And then after the game was sore. So just with the off day tomorrow, you know, just something trying to stay ahead of and don't want to push through anything right now.
When you say sore in his side, what side exactly, what happened to lead to that soreness?
I think it's just been just the general wear and tear of the first several days, you know, DH in one day, a lot of swings. So yeah, just that.
And by side, do you mean oblique?
No, I think it's just, as I would say, general soreness, I guess, in the side.
Now, the one thing that jumps out at me from that exchange and why I keep playing it, you know, just the wear and tear of playing 5 games. I mean, that's alarming to me. I mean, Aaron Judge is in top physical shape. Playing 5 games and getting, what, 22 at-bats?
Yeah.
Should not impact you that much. So I said it before. I'll repeat it again quickly. There's 2 ways that this could be going. They're using general soreness as a cover because they had planned to rest him all the time. And rather than be questioned about why would you rest a guy who just had 3 hits and 4 ribbies, they say general soreness, give him 2 days off in a row. The other one is that he actually is sore and that there's something up. And then Boone went on later, and is he going to see a doctor or not? That's not the plan, but I wouldn't rule anything out, which would lead me to believe that there probably is soreness there.
Yeah, there.
After 5 games, Don, I don't get it. What went wrong? I didn't see anything where he ran into any wall in a hard way that would cause that. And yesterday, his swing looked great.
So you can't say that it's, oh, they don't want to have to go through that, they're just giving him the rest, so we're just going to say that he's sore. Because that opens up a whole thing that's even worse than just having to deal with why you're taking the day off, right? So I think he's legitimately not feeling well. He's banged up. And it's disturbing that the best athlete on the team, a guy that can go out there and literally hit 50 home runs a year if healthy, hasn't been able to be healthy and be able to play a full allotment of games, and that 5 games is enough for him to be sore, that he's going to have to like take 2 days off because they're off again tomorrow. So we're not going to see him again until Friday, maybe. That's a problem. And back to the size, Michael, I looked it up. Like, you bring up Dave Winfield, and it's a good comparison because Dave Winfield was 6'6". Judge is 6'7", right?
Right.
According to baseballreference.com, Winfield was 220. Judge is 282. He's 60 pounds bigger than Dave Winfield.
I don't buy that. I mean, it's probably not Judge's side, but I was around Dave Winfield. He wasn't 220. He'd have been railed on if he was 226.
All right, but let's say he was 250. We're right. Still talking about several pounds. Judge is abnormally big for baseball. He just is. And even if I give you Dave Winfield, you really can't give me anybody else. Usually guys that tall and that big.
Frank Howard.
Yeah, and that's probably it. And Frank Howard was nowhere near the player that either Winfield or Judge were.
Well, he was a pretty good player.
Yeah, he was a home run hitter. He was a good player. But he wasn't the athlete that those two guys were. And during that time, and even Frank Thomas was big, you know, but those guys played every day and they played through pain. But now when any time you feel anything, the knee-jerk reaction is get him out. Get him checked out. We got bigger fish to fry here. We're trying to win a championship. And I get it. The Yankees are trying to win a championship every year. But it's April, for God's sakes. Wear and tear. The dog days. If it's August, Michael, we don't have a kick coming, right?
Nope.
Because you played over 100 games. It's 100 degrees outside. No, it's April. Guy missed 2 days before the end of spring training because he had allergies. You know, so he didn't even play the last couple of games of spring training. Played 5 games. Tomorrow will be their second day off. And a week into the season. So they haven't even played that many consecutive games. What, they play 3 in a row?
Yeah, this will be their 3rd in a row.
And one of the games he
DH'd. No. Also, this is their 5th in a row.
But one of the games he DH'd.
Yep.
So what's going to happen when you're in a pennant race and you got to play maybe, you know, because of the pandemic and because of rainouts? Maybe there's going to be a stretch where you got to play 20, 25 games in a row, or maybe 25 games with one off day. So how is he going to get through that if the first 5 games of the season has him sore?
All right, a lot of people want to talk about this. A lot of people are concerned. Let's go to Derek in Staten Island. Derek, start it off.
What's up, guys? It's such a shame just hearing it. It's so true. It's what the athletes today are—they're cut from just a different cloth. And like, you can't be mad at other athletes for saying baseball players are soft. But that's not my question. My question is this: you know, at what point do you look at Booney and go, maybe he's just not the right guy, or he's perfect? Because is he just taking orders from above? How about Hicks batting third? I mean, at what point do you look at him and question that and his decision making?
Well, I mean, they're 3-2, Derek. I mean, just because Hicks hasn't hit well, and we've said it over and over, this is a collaborative effort here. So I'm sure that the numbers have been run, and they like Hicks batting third. But it can change. But, I mean, we're going to really jump on Aaron Boone when they're 3-2?
I mean, listen, my biggest issue with what was just said was, of course, Booney.
You're not a big fan of the why.
Not on Boone. It does not. First of all, he's the manager, so he doesn't need one. Second of all, Booney just doesn't work, guys. We got to do better. Also, is there a worse sounding military leader than General Soreness? I mean, come on.
Let's go to Anthony in Queens.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good. How you doing?
I just want to say that it's really sad for class act like Aaron Judge to be thrown under the bus over, for all what we know, is just a day off. That's all we know. His injuries has never once changed the outcome of the season, and I just think it's beneath baseball. It's beneath the Yankee broadcaster, and he deserves better.
Are you kidding me? Who's criticizing him?
You just
We're
said
stating
that
what's
he
going
might
on.
Not even deserve a long-term deal. I mean,
I didn't.
I never said that.
I said the fact that he keeps getting hurt is going to give the Yankees pause. I didn't say what he deserves or not.
It's
I'm
just
a fan
sad
of Aaron Judge.
As a Yankee broadcaster, for you guys just to put gasoline on the fire when you guys don't know anything. All you know is that he's sore. He's taking a day off, and he deserves better.
deserves better. Anthony, you're talking out of your backside. Yeah. What do you mean he deserves better?
He's a pro athlete, bud.
He's a professional athlete. He's in the public eye. He's not in the lineup. It's the biggest story that's come out of the stadium today. We're supposed to ignore it? And don't give me, I'm the Yankee announcer. I'm a talk show host, too. I'm not criticizing him.
Well,
I mean,
the guy. Is it always business? Does it ever become personal? You work for the Yankees.
Wait a minute.
You know
Anthony.
These guys, isn't it? Are you worried?
You're not concerned about his injuries?
He might not deserve a long-term deal.
I didn't say that.
Talk to me, Anthony. Why would you give him a long-term deal when he's 30 if he can't be on the field any length of time?
And if I had access to the clubhouse, I'd walk right up to him today. I would have no problem with anything I said. I'm not embarrassed about what I said. He knows that I like him. He knows that I'm a fan of his. I say he's one of the top players in baseball.
You don't think injuries are a problem, Anthony?
But you guys know that Aaron Judge downplayed an injury, made it worse because of pressure that the media was giving him of being labeled injury prone. So you know the effect that this might have.
But Anthony, anyway, forget right? about that. Bothers Has it been a problem? Out. Have injuries been a problem for Aaron Judge?
I would say not to the point to affect any outcome or his career. Everyone knows that Aaron Judge is still a phenomenal baseball player.
No, he's a phenomenal player. There's no question, Anthony. But the question is, can he stay on the field beyond the age of 30 years old and get a long-term contract? And you can't tell me that it's a slam dunk. Great kid, tremendous athlete. But he has just not played in enough games. You have to worry about that.
Well, he plays in every October. And as a Yankee fan, that's all I care about.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But he played 112 games in 2018, 102 games in 2019. In a 60-game schedule last year, he played in less than half the games. How is this not an issue? Good kid, wants to play every single day, love him to tears, tremendous athlete. How can you say it's not an issue when the guy seems to be a lock every year but his rookie season to miss 60-plus games? How is it not an issue?
We don't know anything. All we know is that he's sore and he's missing the day. It's April,
but you're
sake.
Not paying attention
break.
To the history. You want to give a long-term contract to a guy that has not been able to stay on the field consistently. Doesn't make him a bad guy. It's just a fact, Anthony. If you want to ignore it, that's fine. You're a fan. But I'm a talk show host. I'm paid to give my opinion. And my opinion is he is a phenomenal athlete that just misses way too many games. You think that's going to get better as he gets older? We're talking about a fine-tuned professional athlete who has to sit game six because he's sore, according to the manager, because he's had too many swings in five games. That's not an issue? That's not something we're supposed to bring up and have a conversation about? We're just supposed to kneel at the altar of Aaron Judge and talk about how great he is? No, that's not the way it works.
You guys are making way too much of it.
All right, fine.
It's one day off in April. One day off in April. Give the guy a break.
That's not what we said.
He's
so Boone's a liar.
Of baseball.
So
he
Boone's a liar.
To be treated better.
Boone's
better,
a liar.
Especially by Yankee fans.
Anthony, I'm curious what you think, because the other day when the Yankees won 7-0, right, and there's 10,000 Yankee fans here, and Aaron struck out in the seventh inning and they booed him. So what did you think about that by Yankee fans?
That was wrong, obviously.
And
that
I think
wrong.
It was wrong, too. But I mean, when you say it's just
so if you think that was wrong, then saying that the guy doesn't deserve a long-term deal and messing with his finances is...
Oh, stop it, Anthony.
Anthony,
like, they're
going
to listen to what Don LaGreca has to say. Dude, man, how much weed have you smoked today? I can tell you're completely high. Dude, man, you're smoking bowls, man. You're smoking out of an apple, right? Be honest with me. Seriously, good conversation. You're high right now, right? You have to be. You have to be high. I can tell by your voice. You're smoking weed, man. You're making no sense. You're like, man, you treat him better, man.
You guys talk like that about Aaron Judge. He doesn't deserve it.
Oh, listen, I'm going to call the Yankees, and I'm going to tell them to trade him because Don LaGreca has this power, man. You're nuts.
Why don't you wait till he gets injured for you to claim
his whole career? He's sore, man. He's not playing because he's sore.
If it was just a day off, then we'd have a problem with
the – even injured.
But then you're saying that Aaron Boone's lying.
The Aaron Boone's lying.
Is that what you're saying?
Boone could just be an idiot. Boone could just be an idiot.
I didn't know that was
on
the table.
You could call Aaron Boone, one of the nicest people in baseball, an idiot, but we can't.
You know what? Anthony's got me, man. Anthony's got me because I didn't even consider the fact that Boone might be an idiot. Talk about being disrespectful, you moron. So we're bad because we're talking that I'm saying, not Michael, not Peter, I'm saying I'm not sure I'm giving him. Matter of fact, I know I'm not giving him a long-term contract at 30 if he continues to get hurt. And I'm being disrespectful to Aaron Judge, and I need to treat him better because I'm affecting his money, man. And yet he can call Aaron Boone an idiot. I love how hypocritical he was.
Were we disrespectful to point out that, and obviously Kevin Durant's back tonight, is it disrespectful to point out that Durant had only played 19 games so far?
Yes, you're affecting his money, man.
So over the last 3 years, and listen, right now Aaron Judge to me is as must-see a player as there is in baseball. When he's up, I stop what I'm doing and watch. Over the last 3 years, 2018, he played 112 of 162. In 2019, he played 102 of 162. And in 2020, he played 28 of 60. You don't get concerned when after five games he has to sit for soreness? Oh, it's part of the story. You can't ignore it.
And for him to say it's just April, well, that's the issue. If it was August, nobody would say anything. But when the manager said that, you know, he's kind of worn down from 5 days of playing, that does make you wonder. That's all. I want Aaron Judge to play every day. Listen to the joy in my voice when I called the home run yesterday. I mean, this guy's a pleasure to watch, and he's a great guy.
Right.
But we've got to address great the guy. Elephant in the room to say that you're not even supposed to say it because we're messing with his money.
Right. But he can call Aaron Boone an idiot. That's the way you'd be, Michael, if you took an edible before the show. I don't think there's any question that guy was high.
That I got to tell you, I enjoyed that guy. Was such a great heel caller because he
sounded like Stephen Wright.
His ability, though, to stay exactly where he stayed and just keep driving his point home. We may have disagreed with him, but you can't deny he got his point out effectively because he kept his cool completely.
Yeah, strong. When Don accused him of drug use, he kept his cool.
Yeah, he didn't even care about that. He was like, nah, man. It's not smoking out of an apple. I'm sitting in traffic, bruh.
Let's go to Jack in Port Jefferson. Jack.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hey doing? There, pal.
It's Jack.
Hey, Jack.
I think Judge isn't playing because 2 nights ago he ran into the wall trying to catch a fly ball. He hit his left side. I saw him grimace, and I said, he's going to be out. And I think I was right. That's all I have to say.
I don't – you know what? You might be right, Jack. I don't remember that. All I remember is yesterday on the Trey Mancini pop-up down the right field line, he did pull up before he got to the wall in foul territory. Now, he had said in spring training that he was going to do this. So I didn't send up any alarms, but maybe he was sore at this point and didn't want to run full bore into that lower wall, which would be right at his ribs. But I don't recall, maybe yes could find, I don't recall him running hard into the wall in the first couple of games. I could be wrong, but it's not resonating with me right now. Let's go to Dave in Florida. Dave?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good. How are you?
After that conversation you had with the other guy, I feel lousy here. Listen, just a passing note here. After the game last night, you passed off to the studio guys.
Yep.
And they made a comment about Aaron Judge running the bases after he hit that home run. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with him taking a day off, but I'm just passing that on to you.
And now, after he hit the home run question, after he hit the home run or yeah. when he was running from first to third? Yeah. Because when he was running from first to third, or like when I think Gardner doubled and he just got to third, he looked like he was going slower
well,
on
that
second.
That could have been it. Yeah. That could have been it. I forget who the three guys, I forget their names.
Bob, Jack, and John. Last night.
Bob, Jack, and John. All right. Well, anyway, that's just, I just wanted to give you that info and ask you a question if you could answer it for me.
Sure, I'll try.
Okay, in baseball,
mm-hmm.
who decides how many teams get the first base side as their home team and dug out and the visitors take the third base side?
It's the home team when they build the stadium. They decide if they want to be on the third base or first base side. So nothing is locked in where the home team has to be first base side because there's a lot of home teams that are in third base side. But that's just a function of the stadium being built and the preference of the team where they'd rather be. It's like the Giants used to be on the side of the football field that had the sun shining down on it because Wellington Mara's mom didn't want him to get cold.
Which I think is a great story.
Let's go to Hondo in Old Bridge. Hondo.
What's up, guys? I just got two quick points. I think for baseball, the only player that really needs a rest is a catcher. And obviously we see that all around the league. The catchers get their days off. And, you know, Mike Trout wore a short a couple of years ago that said, always sore. You know, basically stating that no matter what, you're going to be sore. It's a long season. You're going to go through aches and pains, but you're going to play. You know, but for Judge, you know, I think, you know, especially in baseball, the more work that's done and strenuous on your body is in warm-ups. You know, they go through such a dynamic warm-up to get their bodies going. They take a bunch of swings either off the tee or front toss inside, and then they go and take BP. So that's where a lot of the work is done, not so much in the game. Mm-hmm. So I don't really understand the day off, you know, playing when it's probably maybe a little less swings before a game.
Well, I mean, they feel they need the swings before the game to get ready, Hondo. And the bottom line is that, you know, analytics aren't just about, like, not bunting and launch angle. It's also about the care for players. And they run things through computers. What's the optimum amount of time that guy should play and how many days off should they have? That's all very well researched. So I'm sure that if this is just a day off, it's something that they felt at the beginning of the year. Let's let him play five. Because the key for the Yankees this year is to keep Judge and Stanton healthy. They have them playing about 145 to 150 games. So they have to choose what games they want him to miss. We'll see. Maybe he's in the lineup Friday at Tampa Bay. Who knows? I hope that's the case. I hope that the criticism then is on the Yankees for sitting down a guy who had four ribbies and not because of the fact that he's sore after five games. 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.